Greek culture. Welcome to Geek Culture Online. I'm Patrick Bolin, and this is going to be our episode talking about Star Wars. Now, housekeeping first. This episode is going to be jumping the line. This is going to take place before all the other ones, so the housekeeping on those are going to be a little bit different. Now, you can reach us at geekculture.online. You can go to our Facebook page. You can also go to our Twitter, our Tumblr, and our Instagram. All, you know, just look for the words Geek Culture Online or geekculture.online. Now, to start with, I thought it would be very significant and very interesting to bring up the subject on the Star Wars films themselves. Now, there is a debate on how somebody should watch the films, and this is for this is going to help the people that the two people that have not seen Star Wars on the planet, and we're also going to talk about a lot about the Star Wars films themselves. But we're going to start off with how somebody should, or suggestions on how you should watch the films, and then we'll go into a little bit about each of the films and. And things like that. I have
Larry Wojciechowski
is here.
Thank you, Patrick.
You're welcome. And we're going to be talking a lot of. He's going to provide some insights and things about the films themselves. But the first part we're going to talk about is the many different ways that the fandom is suggesting to see the films. Mostly, it's going to be 1 through 6. But a lot of these are going to involve 7, 8, and 9, as well as the auxiliary films of Rogue One and Solo. But there's been several suggestions on how these should be watched, and we're going to go through each one of them. We're not going to go through every single variation that's out there. The ones that we're going to be dealing with mostly is the release order, the chronological order, the machete order, and then what's considered the long machete order, or the Rinster order, and then the time machine order. Now, that was a new one, and I really thought I knew all the variations out there. Now, what we're going to do, first of all, is we're going to talk about the release order. Now, the Star Wars films, this goes back to 1977. Then Empire was released in 1980, and then Return of the Jedi was released in 1983. Then when technology caught up to what Lucas's vision was, then he released Phantom Menace in 1999, Attack of the Clones in 02, and Revenge of the Sith in 05. Now, the release order has been hotly debated, so that would be obviously 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, and then 7, 8, and 9. Now, there's pros and cons to this, and what we're going to do is we're going to kind of go quickly over this so we can start delving and dissecting into the films themselves. Now, the first argument with the release order is that you're experiencing them in the way that they were released. The tempo of the films are done in such a way is that the first trilogy, the 4, 5, and 6, is done differently than obviously 1, 2, and 3. So you could see them as like chapter 1 and chapter 2, part 1, part 2, and because of that, you're experiencing them the way that technology and the focus and all that was done. Now, that's kind of like the pro of this. You're experiencing it like everybody else did in the world.
Which I think, Patrick, is a lot of fun. And I'll tell you why, because when I think of it, when I look at the release order, I actually, I relive my childhood. I saw, obviously, Star Wars when I was a very young child in 77, October of 1977, exactly. I saw Empire several times at the theater in 1980. And I went on to see Return of the Jedi in 1983 a total of 13 times in the calendar year of 1983. So when I now see them on DVD, it takes me back to my childhood. So I enjoy the release order. I enjoy starting there because that's my memory. That's my childhood, exactly. So I'm going back to, for example, I saw the original Star Wars in the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge, Illinois, which is an Art Deco theater. It's a historic – National Historic Register. So it's a very beautiful theater. Mm-hmm. It's still there today. They still show movies. So I enjoy the release order, but I will say, and if I can jump into it, I have taken a friend of mine before we saw Episode 7 at the theaters 2 years ago. I had to get him up to speed. So we then literally sat down a day before and started doing chronological order.
So you did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, every single story, no matter how boring it is or how technical it is, every story has a beginning.
Correct.
So by Lucas doing a beginning story or the trade boycott and all that in the first episode, it set everything up for everything else.
Yes.
So that pacing, that's the reason for the chronological order. Yes. But to jump back a little bit to the release order, the con of seeing them in 4, 5, 6 and 1, 2, 3 is the big reveal is done in Empire, and then the rest of it is basically explaining why the big reveal.
True, very true.
But you're going to the chronological order.
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and if you want to include 7, 8, 9,
sure.
Is that your friend experienced it going in that order, so the big reveal happened at the end.
True. Well, I mean, in all fairness, my friend, I mean, he had seen the original movies, but again, he was not I think I'm myself a super fan of Star Wars. That was my first movie I ever saw in 1977. It put the hook in me, mm-hmm. for sci-fi. Mm-hmm. You know, because of that, I liked Battlestar Galactica, you know, talking about a TV show off subject and other shows on TV that really got me into. And again, my father was a Star Trek fan, excuse me, so he took me to see Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So my friend had seen 4, 5, and 6, but he had seen them, you know, once or twice in his youth. Mm-hmm. So he was rusty, you know, he didn't have the DVDs.
Right.
So I said, hey, look, let's see them in chronological order, because he hadn't seen really the new ones at the mm-hmm. theaters. Let's start from the origin story. Mm-hmm. Every story is a beginning. 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. and those are pretty new to him in general. Mm-hmm. Then, okay, now we're at 4. I recall this to some degree. Mm-hmm. Then 5, the big reveal. 6, and then boom, we literally were finishing 6 mm-hmm. an hour and a half before we had to get to the theater for episode 7. So
now, going with, kind of bouncing back between the release order and the chronological order, the release order, yeah, you get that big zap. The big reveal, and then you basically, it's almost like a flashback if you're doing it in release order, where then you're going and then finding out why this happened. Now, the chronological order, you're seeing the missteps all the way up to the fall of Anakin to becoming Vader, and then the big reveal saying, hey, you know,
sure.
And then it ends. And so you have the storyline. Now, there are some people that say that 1, 2, and 3 are the slowest of the three, but it's not that they're slower. It's just that they had to explain the reasoning or the of 4, 5, and 6. All the motivational factors that happen in 4, 5, and 6. They had to go through there and do the check boxes and saying like these, then boom, boom, boom. These have to happen for these characters to behave this way in 4, 5, and 6.
That's why everybody
complains about 1, 2, and 3.
And they can complain, but I think it's unjustified. And I'll give you the good examples. The good examples are if you read The Hobbit or you read The Lord of the Rings. You could argue The Hobbit is somewhat methodical and has a slower pacing than The Lord of the Rings. We could argue that some other time for another mm-hmm. podcast. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to go with the origin story, you need to read The Silmarillion, which I haven't read in maybe 20 years. But I've read The Silmarillion more than once. Mm-hmm. And I remember people compare that to like reading the Bible. And I have read the Bible. I've read the Bible 8 times all the way through. And, you know,
I'm so sorry.
Well, that's fine. It's your opinion. My point to you is this, is that the Old Testament is clunky as well compared to the New Testament. Again, that's where Jesus is, if you believe these things. Mm-hmm. My point is that, it's up to the big reveal. Jesus is born. So the origin stories are always kind of going to be clunky. That's just the nature of the beast, because they have to have those bits and pieces in there.
Well, the foundation has to be built
absolutely
to provide the motivational parts for the characters. Now, to take that one step farther, then we can start going into the machete order, which okay. everybody talks about a great deal.
Which I've never done, Patrick. I've never seen a machete. I've never done that.
Okay. Now, the what they say about the machete order is that it kind of pairs them. It goes 4-5, 2-3, 6-7. It eliminates number one. Now, if it goes 4-5, the big reveal, then it's almost a flashback. Does 2 and 3, then it goes back and finishes it up with 6, and then 7, 8, 9, if you want to include those. So it's basically, you get the big reveal, then it explains why this happened with 2 and 3, then it goes back to the present and does the rest of the film. Now, the machete order has been hotly debated all over the place, but I could understand the reasoning behind this is that, you know, okay, you get the big ta-da, and then it's like, wow, where did this come from?
Why is there the big reveal?
Yeah, why is he his father? Why did this happen? Well, then they go like, well, let me explain that to you.
Sure.
And now the reason why they've eliminated one is that, it shows Anakin, it introduces Anakin, but for the explaining the big reveal, it's not necessary.
True.
Okay.
Sadly, though, you're missing the best lightsaber fight of all the movies.
My opinion. Yeah, some can say that, but yes. So therefore, you know, the machete order does, you know, it has some validity to it.
Sure, I agree. Yeah, I understand.
It wasn't intended because then if you want to take it one step further, there's what's called the long machete or I hate giving this guy credit. It's the Rinster order, which you can do a internet search while it's still free.
We'll discuss that at some other time, Patrick.
If we're able to,
focus on this. Rinster. I've never heard of it.
Well, honestly. I've never heard it explained this. I've heard of the short and long machete versions.
Okay.
But he wrote this very lengthy blog that gives blow for blow explanations why you need to see it in 4-5-1-2-3-6-7-8-9 order. And so it's like, oh, okay. He basically is trying to justify number one. Now, you know, so I find that very, very, very interesting is that, yeah, there's two versions of the machete. Okay, great. That makes sense. You just, the flashback, shuffling the cards of the episodes is a pretty good idea.
Sure.
You know, but again, like you said, that you saw them in order. So you, the end, you know, the big reveal happened at the end. And for the two people out there in a cave that have never seen Star Wars, spoiler, 3, 2, 1. Vader is Luke's father.
Big surprise.
Big surprise. There, strangely enough, there are still YouTube videos of people being videotaped as they watch the Empire Strikes Back, and they get to see that.
Well, I was a big TV guy. My family, we like what, you know, they watch the soap operas, the General Hospitals, the Dallas. We watch Dynasty, mm-hmm. which had cliffhangers. You know, these are soap operas and what mm-hmm. have you. But for me still, and again, maybe it's my age or beliefs or likes, I still think the greatest cliffhanger is the end of Empire Strikes Back. I never. You could have bet me in 1980 $100 saying, no, that's Luke's father. I'll take that bet, Patrick, because I know you're dead last wrong, and I would have lost my money. The greatest.
I saw all 6, 7, 8, 9, 7, 8, 8 all live Star Wars films on opening day. I don't know of another person on the planet that can actually say that.
I have not.
Okay. So, you know, so there. But on Empire Strikes Back, on opening day, I spilled my popcorn and my pop with that big reveal. It went all over everywhere because it was almost a cliché-ic Star Wars scene where I squeezed both of them. So the popcorn and the pop went shooting into the air because of that big reveal. Now, it was George Lucas was interviewed recently, within the last couple of years, and he was asked, what order should the films be
interesting
watched.
Okay.
And he said, well, in chronological.
See, that's, well, but okay, but think
the that master has said
spoken.
The order has spoken.
Well, again, it's George's baby. Let's be honest. I mean,
without him, nothing, none of this would have ever
right. Happened. Number one and number two, you know, obviously George Lucas was heavily involved with the Indiana Jones series, the screenplays, the writing. He didn't direct them, but really, the bottom line is, if you know, on George Lucas's tombstone, whenever that will be, hopefully no time soon,
never,
it will be the father, you know, the Godfather of Star Wars, and there's nothing wrong with it.
There is the Rinster version is also called the Godfather 2 version, which it's because okay. You know the way that it flashbacks in Godfather 2.
Right. Okay.
So it just there are different many labels, but the whole point of the, you know, the machete, the Rinster, the Godfather 2 version is that you shuffle them so there's a flashback in there.
Okay.
Lucas didn't, you know, basically lay down the law, saying that, you know, it's in chronological order, so therefore that's the way it should be.
Right.
Now, I was making a point of that.
You were just talking about the Rinster order, and Luke, you know, Lucas had his interview.
Time machine. Oh, and now there is one final version that I've never heard of until yesterday when I was researching.
Neither have I until you told me, Patrick.
Yeah, yes.
Never.
And it's called the Time Machine Order. Now, this is very difficult to wrap your mind around. But also, you would have to find these versions on different formats because, you know, the very first piece of Star Wars footage that was ever released on Super 8 film back in 1977, but they first started appearing on VHS and then went to Laserdisc and all this stuff. But the Time Machine Order is watching the theatrical release of 4, 5, and 6.
Which I saw.
You know, which is, you know, we all saw.
Right.
Like how they first came out. Then watching 1, 2, and 3, how they came out, because right. There isn't any extended or
not really.
Special versions
no,
of those.
No, no, no.
Then going back and watching 4, 5, and 6, the special,
editions that came out in 1997. Yes. I saw those at the theater.
Yeah, and it's or the final versions, because they're still tinkering with them on DVD.
There's several versions, yes. Yeah.
And then watching 6, 7,
no, 7, 7, 8, 8, 9. Exactly.
Yeah, so to repeat that, 4, 5, and 6, the original versions, 1, 2, 3, the altered versions of 4, 5, and 6, and then 7, 8, and 9. So now you're actually seeing 4, 5, and 6 twice, but the reason for that is basically you're seeing how the special editions all change the focus of the storyline, because Han shot first, get over it, people.
Right.
Then in the special edition, he did not.
Correct.
And then there was more things, like added stormtroopers and all these other minor little scenes. Especially
right, the Mos Eisley scene was right. The Jabba the Hutt scene with Han, right?
The Jabba the Hutt scene where they did their own musical number, that was massively changed in the special edition.
Correct.
And also the end of Return of the Jedi when they showed, and all of a sudden I can't think of the guy, the old guy's name that played Vader without the mask on.
Yeah.
And then they had Chris.
Right. Hayden Christensen.
Hayden
right.
Richard,
right. But they also show Coruscant. They show Coruscant at the special edition.
Yes.
It's alluding to Episode One.
Right.
Right.
So you know, all of that was, you know, it changes the focus on 4, 5, and 6 greatly. So that Time Machine Order is very interesting because you get the taste of how it was, then you go into how it is now.
Right. So I have a question, Patrick, because, again, I did not know this prior to literally, you know, us talking about it before this podcast. Who came up with the Time Machine Order? Is it anybody famous? Was it an article you read?
There was a blog out there. I did not capture the name. It's not credited to a single individual like the other ones. It's like, you know, the Machete Order is not credited to one individual you know, things like that. But it's kind of mind-blowing because, you know, it's just, yeah, because watching 4, 5, and 6 special edition and the original 4, 5, and 6, they're basically two different stories.
Right. Well, let me say this. Let me toss this in here. The Time Machine Order sounds like a nice compromise, but I'll say this. The Time Machine Order is really kind of me living my life, because I did see 4, 5, and 6 in the theaters in yes. the with the spacing of those 3 years, 77 to 1980 to 1983.
Right.
Then, of course, pause. Technically, I did see the special editions in the theater,
mm-hmm.
but then I had to wait again for 1, 2, and 3. And since 1, 2, and 3 came out, I've revisited mm-hmm. 4, 5, and 6, the special editions on DVD that I have at home
right.
to get myself ready mm-hmm. for Force Awakens with my friend, what have you. So really, I, in essence, I think many people, myself included, have literally, without this and label, unintendedly we didn't have that. This label. This is how we saw them, because
yes.
we wanted to gear up again, you know, 30 years later
yes.
for that. So I think the Time Machine Order is nice. I mean, you know, and actually you're kind of even you know, going along with Lucas here, because obviously he made money off, you know, the theatrical ones, 4, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Then he made his 1, 2, and 3 episodes himself, all directed, mm-hmm. self-financed, as we well know.
Yes.
And then, of course, I'm sure many of us said, well, we better dig out the special editions or the DVDs we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, if I'm correct, Patrick, there is no Star Wars standard theatrical version on DVD.
No, that was, there is not.
That was on beta or VHS, because we had beta.
It was originally released on Betamax.
Yes.
Then it was released on VHS.
And you know why, Patrick. Betamax was the superior technology.
Well, it was a better technology. In fact, there was other versions of cassette tapes for movies. It's just the two that won the battle was Betamax and VHS.
Right.
Now, why Betamax completely failed was marketing. It's
yes.
been proven without a doubt.
It was only Sony. It was only Sony that had Betamax, and we had Sony in the houses.
Mm-hmm.
There was some Zenith, but yeah, it was Panasonic, whatever. Their marketing was superior, and they creamed Betamax, which I'm still crying about today. But okay,
well,
we can go
there
on.
There are multiple versions of DVDs too, because when that was first released, there was other companies that came out with them all. And if you looked at the old remotes and stuff, there was a whole bunch of buttons on the old remotes with those other companies that did things that the new, you know, DVDs don't do.
Correct.
That.
Correct.
So that kind of, you know, that was the, you know, the other alternate versions of DVD were the Betamax at the time.
Right.
So that's what. Well, yeah, there is not a version of the theatrical release of 4, 5, and 6 on DVD that you can get that's been released by Lucasfilm or 20th Century Fox or even Disney.
Disney, correct.
Disney has stated that they will not be doing that.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah, there were several articles that are out there. You can look at that and then write them nasty letters. Now, that's basically the parts that were the main concern about watching, you know, what order should we watch those films in, and that brings us up to the Evil Empire versions of Disney taking over with the Force Awakens and the Last Jedi.
Okay, so
now those, you know, looking at this as a comparison, this is almost like a new generation of people being introduced into Star Wars. So yeah, okay, fine, we got new characters, you know, just like Star Trek the New Generation, we have a whole bunch of new people alluding to the old one. They're two separate universes. They're brought them in here, and sadly J.J. Abrams is going to be involved with two of the three films.
Patrick, okay, well,
anyway, but we'll leave that alone.
Yes,
but now we have three new films to play with. Now, here's the point, is that when Star Wars first came out, to alluding to what we wanted to talk about, is that there was a lot of pieces to Star Wars that, well, here, I'll just let you go into it.
Okay, well, here's what I think is really important. And again, going back to the original, you know, Lucas's original concept and tomes, you know, Episode 7, which I loved, and I'm anticipating Episode 8, which is coming up right around the corner here. You know, they're not really Lucas's story. I mean, and we understand this. We know that these are, I mean, Lucas, as I just read an article that you posted,
yes,
is that, you know, Lucas was brought on by Disney as a creative consultant. And I was very happy to hear that. But from this article, and I remember this several years ago, they didn't use any of his ideas.
Yeah, he had complete scripts done. And he handed them to Disney and says, here, you know, here's 7, 8, and 9. And they went, okay, great. We'll take a look at this. They signed the paperwork, and then they just said, "Yeah, we're not going to do any of this.
Don't call us; we'll call you." Right?
Yeah. But here's the interesting part: is that Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher all admitted a couple of years ago that Lucas approached them back in, I think it was 2007, saying, "Hey, would you be interested in coming back and redoing your characters?" Because he sat them down and had a lunch with them, and they were like shocked and like, "Wow, you're serious about this?" And he says, "Only if all three of you agree to do it, will we even consider this?" And they all said, "Yeah, sure." And then obviously, things, you know, life happens and things like that. So, you know, several years passed, and they, you know, we don't know behind the scenes stuff, but it's just that then in 2012. The paperwork was signed, and then Disney owned Lucasfilms. So, you know, so between the time that he had lunch with them to the time, you know, it was signed off,
right?
You know, who knows? There are those scripts do exist.
Of course,
the outlines do
exist. Of course,
exist.
They do.
And it's just if they ever see the light of day, that's going to be entirely up to Disney.
Right. Well, and if somehow they're not approved by Disney, I'm sure it'd be a massive lawsuit or some sort of issue. Look, I would say this. You know, I do believe myself as a Star Wars purist. You know, I own the action figures. I have literally shelves of Star Wars books I've collected over the years, comic books, but also The Art of Star Wars, Star Wars history, all that stuff. I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with these books, have them themselves. But, you know, my question is, you know, do you really want to see Lucas's stories one day? Because, I mean, we're going to have the Disneyfied versions. You know, we have The Force Awakens, which I loved. We have The Last Jedi coming out shortly. And then we have Episode 9, not even talking about Rogue One, the Star Wars stories, which I loved as well. You know, do we want to see Lucas's stories one
yes.
day? And I would say yes, too. I would say yes as well.
Because the Mark Hamill, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, there was an article released, look it up, that he said that he didn't like the direction that Disney's taking the characters in.
He also, if your listeners, your podcast listeners can check out also, Mark Hamill recently did an interview with Stephen Colbert on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert on CBS, and it was a very long interview. Colbert was fawning over him. He's a super fan himself, but it was a really good interview. So very in depth, you know, not a short, quick, boom, boom. Here's the highlight. Here's who I play. It was a very long, you know, kind of an old school interview that like Johnny Carson would have done, or maybe Letterman would have done with somebody he loved, and. You know, Mark Hamill was promoting the new movie, of course, because he's one of the main characters, obviously. So he's not going to trash the movie. That would be dumb of him to do so and be counterproductive. At the same time, you could hear the wistfulness in his voice. Mm-hmm. You could he kind of dropped some hints. And again, let your listeners, you know, check out the interview online or on their DVRs, however they find it on demand. But, you know, I could see that Hamill was happy with the finished product. At the same time, he was like longing for really probably the original script. I'm going to throw something else in. I watched a 60 Minutes interview recently where they interviewed Donald Sutherland, who's an old school actor, Canadian-American actor, lovely man, you know, was in MASH, other movies, decades worth of work. And he made a comment to Anderson Cooper, who's interviewing him, saying, you know, Anderson, you know, do you ever watch? He said, no, of course I don't see. I've never seen any of the movies I've done. Because it's, you know, I'm the actor. I have control over the lines I say. Mm-hmm. And once they say cut, what do you think I have control? And I guess, so if I'm the actor, what control do you think I have once they say cut?
Probably none.
He said zero. I have zero control because I could be left on the cutting room floor.
Which I have been cut.
There you go. So I know you would understand this, Patrick, and other of your listeners would. But the point is what Sutherland said is, look, I don't – I enjoy being the character, delving into the character, and living that character as much as I can. That is my job. That is my craft. What you do with it, he says, and so basically he did kind of absolve himself, this is Sutherland talking, of, you know, if it's a bad movie, it's not my fault. You know, I did my best. I put on my A game as an actor, as a professional. If you chop it, slice it, add effects, delete effects, add music, well, that's your fault.
Now, to jump off of that, Mark Hamill did say that the ending of A Force Awakens was altered and changed. Now,
yes,
Now, was that for the Last Jedi? We don't know. You know, just there are articles out there that either speculate or go into it. But unless I actually see that it's Mark Hamill's recorded voice or whatever, what is written, I'm going to take with a little grain of salt, saying that it was changed for the Last Jedi, or if it was changed because of what was going on with A Force Awakens, because there was some editing after the fact with A Force Awakening, but with Mark Hamill saying, like, hey, they changed the ending, is interesting.
Yes, yes. Well, again, I have a good friend of mine who's a big Star Wars fan, a little bit younger than myself, and he basically said, look, he loved the original three, four, five, and six. He didn't say he loved one, two, and three, but he did enjoy them a lot, the origin story. And he was very disappointed by seven. And he actually, I mean, he gave it, like, out of a four-star scale. I gave Force Awakens a 4 out of 4 stars. I know, Patrick, we disagree slightly about that, and that's fine.
They don't have a negative rating.
Okay, yes. All right, Patrick, follow along with me. So my friend Jonathan said he'd give it, like, 2.5. Because, again, you know, he's a fan of Luke Skywalker, and he was disappointed because, of course, in the crawl, they talk about Luke Skywalker missing, what have you. But he's like, okay, where's Luke? Where's Luke? You know, every 30 minutes, he's like, where's Luke? Where's Luke?
Well, he originally, the way I understand it, wasn't supposed to appear in A Force Awakens at all.
That's interesting. So my friend that we're talking about now, he would have probably even given a lower, maybe 2 stars or 1.5 out of 4 stars.
Because the very first, picture that we see, it was the first day of film of sit down and reading the script, showed
Mark Hamill
there and everybody in the cast,
right,
and
Harrison Ford
and everybody, right. and his job was just to really the auxiliary things. It's like the door opens and things like that. That's what his job was there with the first day of reading the script. But you know, if he wasn't in that picture, people went, where the hell is
right? Because Mark Hamill has no lines. There's no spoken lines in The Force Awakens. He is visually in there in two scenes, basically.
Right. Now, here's an interesting point to jump off of that, because if we look at the films as a whole, and I'll just pick on chronological order.
Sure.
Is that every single film? Once a film ends, a time span happens between before the next one starts.
Of course.
Okay. The biggest span of time is between 3 and 4. There was almost, like, what, 25 years is supposed to have taken place from...
Right. The Revenge of the Sith ending is when literally Luke Skywalker and Leia Organa are born, so they're newborn babies. Yeah. And then help me out, Patrick, if my math is correct, episode 4, New Hope, Luke Skywalker is supposed to be 17?
He's supposed to be in his 20s.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, I thought he was supposed to be like a 17-year-old. Okay.
Or maybe, or late teens, early 20s.
Okay, so a 20-year span.
25-year span.
Right.
You know, just, and so, okay, like between the first and the second one, there's a 10-year span because he went from being a 10-year-old kid to being a teenager, 19-year-old.
Correct.
And all this stuff. Now, breaking tradition... Again, with between 7 and 8, there is no time spans. 8 is supposed to pick up where 8 is.
So it's so in essence, it's basically Rogue One, Episode 4.
Force Awakens to
Episode 8. Correct. So it's literally no like you could walk out of Force Awakens and jump into Episode 8, and there's no time, right? Rogue One ends, and that's where Episode 4 starts.
Okay. Since you opened the Rogue One can of worms,
I loved it.
If you watch Rogue One and then you watch A New Hope, it makes no flipping sense.
Why? Why would you say that, Patrick?
Okay, the scene with Vader mowing through everybody at the end.
Okay.
You know, he is, like, at the top of his game.
Okay.
Okay. He's just shredding people.
I see what you're saying. And the age difference, yes.
Then you see Vader and Obi-Wan fight it out, and they're both gasping for air.
Okay.
They're both warriors, but they're at the end of their game. You know, just they are the, you know, they could still take on anybody they want, but they are tired. They are worn out. It's not like the Darth Maul battle where
yes.
everybody was bouncing off walls and doing all these fantastic things, tearing off huge pieces of machinery, throwing things at each other.
Okay, but Patrick, tearing off pieces of machinery? Tearing off pieces of machinery. That's Empire Strikes Back with Luke and Bespin.
Yeah, but
one-on-one, mano a mano.
Rogue One and A New Hope are supposed to be taking place hours after each other.
Okay.
Then they both should have been, you know, they should have been bouncing off the walls and doing all this stuff too.
Okay.
They're not.
Okay.
Because it was saying these are two warriors. They're at the end. You know, they're in their twilight.
Okay.
So the Rogue One makes no flipping sense as it was filmed. You know,
I loved it. I loved it. I loved the backstory because again, I will admit, when they talked about it in Empire, they talked about Empire, or when they talked about obviously Episode 4. I always like how do they? Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a primary concern of mine, but I always thought how. But I would admit, Patrick, when they announced they're going to make this movie about the backstory, I was very skeptical. I was very scared. Oh my God, they're going to ruin. They're doing this offshoot movie, a Star Wars story, and I was very concerned and worried. But you have to admit, Patrick, whatever you think about the timeline of the ending with the big battle with Vader, the cast is fantastic in Rogue One. I mean, Mads Mikkelsen, him alone in the movie is gold, in my opinion.
Even though that you're going to hear this and the podcast to come, I will say it here. So this is kind of like my prequel to everything else that's coming down the road. Rogue One is a nice movie. It is not Star Wars film.
Okay, Patrick. Well, this is where we disagree, and I'm sure some of your listeners will as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. That's why we're here for. They can comment on your site, and they can hit you up on Facebook and Twitter with all the nasty comments. They'll be pointed towards you, not I.
It's not Lucas. Lucas did not write, direct, or produce Rogue One.
Right.
And it shows.
Exactly. And now
the same thing with The Force Awakens and the same thing. Oh, well, I can't say that about.
Right. And now you're going to say, and now you're going to tell me that Howard the Duck was a wonderful movie too.
It was.
No, it wasn't.
It was exactly like the comic book.
End of story. It's a crazy concept. Okay, moving on.
Turning the wheel back onto the road. Now, we kind of went over a lot of the things that I cannot read your writing, so you're going to have to.
Well,
else did you want to bring up about Star Wars?
Well, there's two things. I think, and I'm going to touch on this because I think this is a very topical question. I was thinking about this is that, you know, Star Wars still has a major impact, but has Star Wars been eclipsed? Really? Let's discuss this.
No, because everybody else is, you know, and we're going to do this very quickly because we're going to wind things up real soon. It hasn't been eclipsed. It's just that everybody is still trying to capture the genie in the bottle.
Okay.
That Star Wars started something which Lucas, you know, basically all Lucas's films were films that he wanted to see. He didn't sit there and go like, I'm going to make something that's for the demographics. You know, it's just
true.
He did something that he felt was missing. Now everybody went, oh, I want a piece of that pie. And ever since then, everybody's been trying to find their franchise.
Okay, and so and you're correct, I agree.
And you know, just all roads lead back to Lucas. Without Lucas doing what he did, none of this would have happened.
True, there would be no toy marketing. There would be no.
Nobody else would be trying to do a series of films.
Exactly.
Hollywood has sequeled themselves to death. Prequel, the tentpole length things. It's just everybody's trying to find a franchise to hang their hat on. Now, going by that, Star Wars wasn't the first one, because there was a Thin Man series of movies back in the 30s and 40s that there was three or four of them, and it was they were kind of doing the same thing. But you know, just that. But that, if you want to really drag it back there, the Thin Man was a series of movies that did that. But in the 30s and 40s, they had movie serials, which Star Wars kind of brought back.
Which Raiders of the Lost Ark was based off of, because I remember watching with my Aunt Lydia in the 1980s on videotape the serials she had on Beta TV, mm-hmm. that she would see, and at the end of every episode was a cliffhanger, yeah. a la Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is what George Lucas modeled the whole movie off.
Right. Well, and the Star Wars ones too. It's just that you know, but those were done weekly, and we're suffering through 2 to 4 years between weekly episodes here. You know, you're going to have to listen to our upcoming episode where we dissect the full trailer of The Last Jedi. And then we'll go through that on that episode with Wilson. And you can find her latest works on our site at geekculture.online. And you can also find her work as well on Twitter and on our Facebook page there. Going back to the reason why we had this one is that we wanted to kind of enlighten people, saying like, hey, yes, Star Wars is a serial. Star Wars
yes.
brought back a lot of the things that people were missing in movies. And it's the fandom base on that is very intense. And
yes.
That's why there is multiple ways of watching it. There's multiple things that you know, that people are passionate about. Yes, some people hate Jar Jar Binks. Some people hate the first movie. Some want the special edition of the films.
Right.
You know, people are very passionate about if Han shot first or not.
And I am too. He did.
And that's why you're able to find so much information about Star Wars and every single media that's out there. You can, you know, anywhere from YouTube to fan literature to books, the 50-some
odd books. Fan fiction
and
as well.
All this stuff yes. that's out there. So, yes, whatever you do, enjoy Star Wars in any format you can find it in. If you're able, you know, it's just, you know, there isn't a right or wrong way of watching Star Wars, but there are maybe better ways of watching it that, you know, just to squeeze every single drop of enjoyment out of it. I'm going to go with what Lucas said in chronological.
I like chronological as well. I will say this, and to touch on what I was saying, but also what you've said in the last couple minutes, Patrick, is, you know, Star Wars is old Hollywood. If you really look at it, it's and Mark Hamill said this, and I've heard it elsewhere, it's really a space western. You know, it's kind of an old school movie format. I mean, yes, it's in the space, and it's, you know, light swords and lightsabers and aliens, but it's really, it harks back to the serials of the 1940s or the 1930s. Again, and Raiders of the Lost Ark is in a similar vein. So I'm not trying to dispute the strength of Star Wars. I do lament, I will admit, that when I hear this excitement for Infinity War, the Marvel Infinity War, the Avengers Infinity War, I have not seen the trailer yet. I will admit to that. I do want to see the trailer. But I'm so excited, anticipating The Last Jedi, because I want to see what happens. I'm hoping for a cliffhanger, because that's what happened in the original trilogy.
Well, for the people that are out there, there is an article that was written that reveals everything that has been that's available on Reddit, on 4chan, and a few other sites. Every single spoiler out there that has been leaked is all in one article. You can find it out there if you search for it. If you want that, for the people that are completely avoiding this, you know, there is a complete clampdown on any reviews or any critic that saw The Last Jedi, because it opened yesterday.
That's correct, yes.
Yes. And so time this podcast is posted, that should be lifted, and you should start seeing people talk about it. But what was said is that there is something that makes the whole entire audience stop and pause.
Interesting.
So there is somebody out there that said that he wrote about it, and then had them check it before he released what he wrote, saying that, yeah, it just it. I forgot how he put it. I'm paraphrasing because the way he put it was so great. It was a stunner,
a shocker,
a very big shocker.
And again,
so since this one supposedly takes place right after The Force Awakens,
is it Rey? Is it Luke? Is it
if you look at that spoiler article,
Han Solo's back.
There is a ton of stuff that they talk about in there that is amazing. A lot of it contradicted each other. There was some people in Reddit that said, I was on the set, I had this, I saw this.
Mm.
So it just, if you want to walk in the door with a bag of knowledge.
I don't want to. This one, I don't want to.
Okay.
Can I say a small point here, Patrick?
Yes.
And for me, and even for my daughter, who's a teenager, without getting into more details, you know, for me, you know, the passing of Carrie Fisher was very emotional for me. I didn't always appreciate all her other movies, you know, outside of Star Wars. I loved her in The Blues Brothers, of course. But my point is that, you know, she was a true Hollywood insider, which I did not know when I saw Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. I just thought she was just Carrie Fisher, some, you know, really good actress, very good, you know, good-looking and young actress at the time. And I might have mentioned this in the past, but I've met Debbie Reynolds. I've been to a concert for Debbie Reynolds.
Not that you're name-dropping.
No, well, I'm not trying to name-drop. I mean, sadly, Debbie Reynolds is gone as well. So, you know, Debbie Reynolds was old-school Hollywood, you know, going back to our theme of old Hollywood. You know, George Lucas might have, you know, crafted this, you know, space western in the sky in a galaxy far, far away, but he took, you know, some tidbits of that old Hollywood, casting Carrie Fisher, granted a wonderful actress by her own.
You know, you're able to find, to quickly say this before we wind things up, there was a DVD set that came out with 9 DVDs that came out in 2011. There was the 6 films and 3 other DVDs. The auditions are on, some of the auditions are on there, if I believe, are on that version. There's another version of all the movies that had had different additional DVDs. And between the two sets, I'm mixing it up. One of those two versions had some of the auditions on there. So it just, they all, you know, because, you know, not to, you know, to go off on a tangent, that because we're,
that's
know,
my we're job, Patrick.
Up, yeah, is that, you know, Tom Selleck was supposed to, you know, audition for the Han Solo role.
That's correct. Tom Selleck was supposed to be.
And for Indiana Jones.
Correct.
So it just, there was other people that were, were in there. I don't know if those auditions are in there, but the list was fairly long for all these people. It's just
sure.
The ones that we have, we can't think of anybody else in there.
No, of course not. Harrison Ford will always be Han Solo. Harrison Ford will always be Indiana Jones. Carrie Fisher will always be that rebellious princess. No pun intended. The snarky, you know, talkback princess, which was very, she was a retro old Hollywood type person, but at the same time, she was a very modern woman for even today's standards, but much less 1977.
Right.
Carrie Fisher, Peter Cushing, Alec Guinness, Alec Guinness, Christopher Lee as Count Dooku.
The only reason why Alec Guinness was in it is because 20th Century Fox says we needed somebody with a name.
Sure, and you know, but again, I never knew who Alec Guinness was until I saw Star Wars.
Nice.
And then I saw Bridge on the River Kwai. I saw other movies. So So by Lucas including these old school actors, or these, again, unknown to a young child like myself at the time, but it allowed me to kind of safely wade into the waters of old Hollywood or old British films and to expand my my knowledge, my depth of cinema, mm-hmm. with that, and being comfortable with seeing a familiar face.
Right.
And again,
right.
So whatever we want to say about George Lucas, or we want to say about his original trilogy, or we could say about the new movie and Last Jedi, you know, it allows you to kind of spread your wealth, to dip your toes in other rivers or lakes and feel comfortable. And I like that connection, because again, it's not passing the baton, but it's a connection to, you know, past movies, past culture, past mm-hmm. history mm-hmm. that I think is important if you're a cinephile, if you're a movie buff.
Well, you know, just being a movie buff and a Star Wars fan, it's just that it's nice that there are so many films that you're able to enjoy from Lucas, and yes, yeah. Disney may, you know, finally do one right someday. So
Patrick.
Now, going with, you know, it's just that the whatever version you watch them in, the point is to enjoy Star Wars in its entirety.
Absolutely.
Now, keep in mind that we're going to be reviewing The Last Jedi. That episode is going to be going up probably the day after this one airs. Look for us on our Facebook page, and you'll be able to see the link there. We are moving our podcast from one location to another. So for the moment, you're going to see some of the old ones still on SoundCloud. Eventually, they're all going to be migrated over to another location, but for now you'll see the original ones there, and then the new ones are going to be on their site, and then after that they'll all be put into one location. But you can go to geekculture.online to find them, find everything there. There'll be a link to all our podcasts. You can go to the Facebook page, you can go to our Twitter, our Tumblr, you can go to our Instagram, our YouTube page. It doesn't have any videos up right now, but we do have one there. You can reach Larry at Charlie at geekculture.online.
Yes.
You can go to our page there and please leave comments. Take our new poll about Star Wars on there. If you don't give us comments, we don't know where what you're interested in. So right. Please tell us.
Yes, go to the Facebook page, geekculture.online. Go bookmark the website. It's a lovely website. Again, there's past articles I've written on there myself as Charlie. Also, check out Patrick's content, Wilson's content. And, you know, I follow the Facebook page. I follow them on Twitter. It's chock full of content. And we appreciate the comments. You know, we're fans like you. I've been a fan for, you know, almost 40 years. And I'm looking forward to the next movie coming out this week. So thanks, everybody. I really appreciate any comments and feedback you've given us for me or for anybody else. And, you know, in the end, we're all just Star Wars fans. And that's the most important thing for me.
Yes. So for geekculture.online, I'm Patrick Bolin.
I'm Larry Wojciechowski.
And thanks very much for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.